Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy Monday, everybody. It's Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 1st. It's August, people, 2011, episode 196, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse world.
Okay, I lost it again.
Oh, my gosh, Glenn!
Can't even find it. Here it is.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride.
But it's still Monday.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride. Ooh, yeah.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Monday. Monday came way too quick this week. I could have taken another weekend day. It would have been good. I would have enjoyed it. We had a good weekend,
you know,
and I just didn't want it to end.
And I just feel like it really flew by. And I do think, Glenn, we need to find in the movie Office Space, there's one of the guys that comes in every morning, every Monday morning. He's like, looks like someone has a case of the Mondays. We need to find that and play that for you
okay.
All the time. It needs to be a new button. Looks like somebody has a case of the Mondays.
I do. I have a case of the, and it's pretty bad when the boss has a case of the Mondays. Pretty bad.
You know what? It just makes us look good to you. I was
because you're excited
really
to be
good.
Here. You were ready and raring to be here, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Mondays. You know what? I actually, here in Phoenix, August 1st is a bit of a celebration because you're halfway through. You are halfway through the summer when August 1st hits because June, it's hell. July, it's hell. Then you've got August and September to get through. So when I read that it was August 1st today, it's like, woohoo, it's like a party. It's a Monday, August 1st. Summer's halfway over. And I know for some of you, it's
yeah, the rest of us are going,
half.
Summer's halfway over. You know, I really don't want summer to be halfway over because I really like summer. And even as hot as it is, I still take that over the winter. Do you know, and I got to ask you the way it was in Georgia, because in Pennsylvania, sure, certainly wasn't that way. They start school here in 10 days. And it's
what?
Like they start on the 11th of August. And we never started till after Labor Day. We were always September when we started school. But then we didn't have the 45 weeks they have off during the year now either, the spring break and the winter break and the fall break and the I don't feel like going to school break.
Spring break, yeah.
Exactly.
No, I remember going a lot closer to September. And, you know, they talked about doing that again because of the fantastic economy and the air conditioning bills that it costs to keep the school cool enough for students. They've thought about pushing it back, and I don't know why they don't just go ahead and do that, because August 10th seems ridiculous to go back
it
to
is.
School.
It is. It's like the middle of summer. You know, we always had that extra couple of weeks, and boy, that makes a big difference. I cannot believe they're going back to school here in 10 days. But
I know,
they are.
That's amazing.
Anyway, let's get to Jennifer, find out what's coming up on today's show, and then we got some stuff to talk about from the weekend. I don't know if she's going to mention. Well, I'll let her go. Go ahead, Jennifer. Sorry.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we are heading out west again, this time with Stacy Coleman, who is the president of the Wild Horse and Burro Expo and a member in good standing of the Wild Ass Women. Uh-huh. Stay tuned to find out what all of these wild women, horses, and burros are going to be up to in a few weeks. And today, in today's dramatic reading of Black Beauty, will Glenn nod off during a particularly emotional passage where our hero is chatting happily about his good fortune? Or will Rick, Chief Executive Carnage Counter, be a busy little camper?
No, that was Tom. Tom's the Carnage Counter.
Tom, oh, sorry, Tom. Well, Rick's probably helping him out. He's part of the Guy Army. And finally, the weekend news roundup is here, and I'm sure there will be carnage, good fortune, emotion, and expos. Yeah, there we go.
Well, before I do the Daily Winnie, I want to put a call out to anybody who, and I know Colleen, I don't know if you can get to a phone because you posted on our Facebook page here a couple minutes ago. If you saw the movie Cowboys and Aliens and can give us a call right now at 347-637-3238, and I saw your friend Rebecca saw it too. I don't know if she listens live or not. But 347-637-3238, we'd like you to call right now because in a couple of minutes, we're going to be giving our kind of review of Cowboys and Aliens. And boy, people are feeling this one's all over the park here, from terrible to good. So we'll let you know how we felt. But first, the Daily Winnie. My Daily Winnie goes out to my big brother, David, whose birthday was yesterday. So happy birthday, David. He's the old guy of the family. He's my oldest brother. And he went to celebrate by going to see a little bit of, was it, what, which play did I say, Jennifer? The ABBA play. Is it Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia.
Yes. So I said nothing better to celebrate your 50-something birthday with a little ABBA. I happen to like ABBA. Am I like in the minority in the world?
Well, let me ask this. So it's your brother. Is your brother married?
Yes.
So your brother is married and his wife gets him tickets to a musical for his birthday. That's not a typical dude, something that they would go see. But I guess if it is ABBA, maybe it's a little bit different. But I know if I got Chad tickets to a musical for his birthday, he'd be like, who are you taking?
I think it's better than probably a symphony concert.
Yes.
It is ABBA.
Welcome back to 1980s with your Tiffany reference.
It's at least going to be loud. I mean, at least ABBA will be loud. That's something.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have one?
I certainly do. All right, my Daily Winnie goes out to a very special horse, a 7-year-old gelding that spread the field late to prevail in the $200,000 Oceanport Stakes at Monmouth Park yesterday. The Ontario bred made his first trip to the winner's circle in over 2 years. What's this horse's name, you say? I just couldn't resist when I saw this in the Blood Horse. The horse's name is Yummy with Butter. That's right. Yummy with Butter.
Aren't most things.
Well, have they run out of names for thoroughbreds? 7 years ago, they were like, there's nothing else we can do, so let's make it Yummy with Butter. Like, can you call it Toast with Butter? Is that his father? I don't understand where you get the name Yummy with Butter from. So I want to ask our listeners, what is the worst name you've ever seen? Have you heard it at a horse show? Have you read it? Was it a racehorse? Is it your horse? Who has the worst name ever? Because Yummy with Butter is taking the cake. And then I continued reading down the headlines in Blood Horse, and what do I come across? This poor horse named Tres Borrachos. He becomes the toast of San Diego. Tres Borrachos means three drunks in English. So Tres Borrachos, three drunks, and then they just always make use of the whole thing. He toasts the town of San Diego.
Hey,
so,
Jamie?
Yes.
I just zipped in and put Yummy with Butter in the Thoroughbred database pedigree.
Uh-huh.
Yummy with Butter's listed owner is named Bruno Chicken Dance.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding you.
chicken is yummy with butter.
I was actually just looking Bruno up to see if he owned like a butter company or something, you know, to see if he had some, and he just owns farms and racehorses, as best I can tell.
But his name's Chicken Dance. Oh my gosh.
It's actually, it's SCH, so it might be Chicken Dance.
Oh, that's it. And now what? That's going to be in your head for the rest of the day, my friend.
Did you know there's also a Gustav Chicken Dance?
A Gustav Chicken Dance. Oh, listen, you're getting away from the point here. I want to know the worst horse names, not the worst owner's names, because I dated those people. I've already dated all the people with really stupid names. So let's put that on Facebook and see what our listeners can come up with. Can you guys come up with anything?
Oh, we had what was the one that was down here for Pony Club, Jennifer, our friend had?
Mr. Giggles.
Mr. Giggles?
Yeah. See, the problem Mr. Giggles was a great name. As long as the rider is under age 14, that horse, for the rest of his life, is stuck with young riders because nobody over the age of 14 is going to ride a Mr. Giggles.
Who is, how old is the rider that owns Mr. Giggles?
I think she's 14.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, not to change the subject, but Rick just called Jennifer out on on her mistake today, saying Rick was the one that keeps track of the carnage count. And he says, don't try to link me to the carnage count, Jen. I thought that part of the show was when we were supposed to take a biological break.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. Thank you, Rhonda, for posting on the topic, saying that she heard of a horse named Alpo, which is just terrible. That is so disrespectful of somebody to name their horse Alpo. Carry on. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Rick, shut up. You're the worst.
And then Robert Dunn just posted, thanks to the goofy work schedule, I get to be here live today. I went to a polo match for the first time ever yesterday. I can totally get into the sport where I get to watch horses running quickly on a field while I get to drink on the sidelines. I think we should incorporate the drinking on the sidelines into dressage. I'm all for you, Robert. I'm all for you. That would certainly make it more interesting.
There is there's an unspoken rule at some horse trials where you always know what trailer to go in and grab a swig of something before you go and do your dressage. So it calms the nerves. And I'm not going to name any names, my old coach Frederick. So apparently some people just, you know, you just walk on in there, you take a nip, and you go and do your dressage. Perfect. So it is incorporated, Robert.
In our barn, getting back to Alpo and Rhonda, we used to have the Alpo Pony of the Week. We used to hang a Alpo can on their stall door. That's for the pony who was being exceptionally bad that week when we had our boarding stable. Alpo Pony of the Week. Well, we had a fun weekend this weekend. We spent some time at the barn. Jennifer got to ride. We went to see Harry Potter, the last Harry Potter movie. And
how
I
was
will,
it?
It was good. It was. I think Jennifer and I agreed on this one. This is the one we agreed on. It was an excellent movie, and as the Harry Potter movies go, it was a good last movie. If you haven't caught up and you haven't seen the movies, you know, leading up to it, or you haven't read the books, and do not go see this movie by itself. You'll sort of get what's going on, but you're not going to really appreciate it. You know, and it was kind of sad. There were people crying at the end because it is the last one. Now, that's not the, you know, you got to believe that she's working on a whole new set of worlds so she can make her second $2 billion.
I cried reading the book. I mean, it was emotional because it's just there's a lot going on there.
Yes, I won't give anything away, but I do like how they ended it. That was kind of cool. And it was a good movie. I thought, Jennifer, we agreed on that one, didn't we? We said it was like a 5 out of 6 flakes.
Yeah, considering the Bale only has 5 flakes, yes, you're right.
I keep thinking Bales have more flakes than that.
Okay. It was an alfalfa Bale.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I didn't expect it to be good, but it tied up a lot of little plot hangers that were throughout it. had some interesting twists. I think this one actually had a lot more plot twists and turns than the last three, probably, in that probably the last three Harry Potters. You could pretty much tell where it was going. You know, this one was like, oh, really? Yeah, so that was kind of fun.
I got to say, though, we saw it in 3D, and this whole 3D thing, I'm starting to agree with Jennifer, who doesn't like the whole 3D thing and doesn't think it's worth the extra money. And I wanted to see this one in 3D. And the other reason she doesn't like it, she already wears glasses, and putting on the second pair of glasses with her tiny nose is difficult. So it keeps wanting to fall off, which is kind of cute. but I gotta say, the 3D thing, unless they start making it much better than it is, it's not worth it. You know?
I already wear glasses to movies too, so I understand the double glasses thing. And I don't put, unless it's some like really animated Disney or Pixar kind of thing, I don't really have any interest. Like, I think that Avatar was phenomenal 3D. Phenomenal.
Yeah, but I think that was
not
the exception,
much else.
Partly because it was partly animated too.
Yeah, exactly.
I, you know, and unless stuff is flying out at my face, I want stuff flying out. If it's 3D, I want stuff. I want to reach out and try to grab it. Otherwise,
I'm gonna get hit with a banana peel.
That's exactly right. And you know, but they're just making it so that it, you know, there's a little more depth and that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, that's fine, but do I really need to pay $5 extra for that? You know, I don't know. I'm starting to be with Jennifer. Unless they start improving the 3D, I'm not really feeling it. You know, I heard the guy who was what's his title? He's like the guy in charge of the sets and everything that happened in the last of the Pirates movies, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. They did that one in 3D, and he said they came to them exactly 2 weeks before the movie started shooting and said, oh, we decided to do it in 3D, and they had to completely change everything to do it. So he said, even in his opinion, the 3D wasn't very good because they hadn't planned on doing it 3D, and it was just one of those things, we've got to do it 3D, we'll make more money. So I think that's the only, you know, obviously the only reason that they're doing it. But, I wonder if they're selling as many 2D tickets as 3D tickets to these movies.
I don't know, but I'm dying to. So Harry Potter was good. I've got to know about Cowboys and Aliens. Everybody's dying to know. We've already got comments about it. Colleen, it was terrible. So I talked to Rebecca Clopping, another listener of ours, and she posted that she saw it, and her review.
What'd she have to say?
She hated it. She was like, I don't even know what that was that I watched. I mean, You have been selling this movie to our listening audience for weeks. So you've got to tell me what exactly did you think?
Well, you know, it has Daniel Craig, and it has, you know, it has big names in it. You know,
that was the one part Rebecca said was good. Daniel Craig with his shirt
Jennifer
off.
Yeah, well, I think will agree with that. Harrison Ford was in it. You know, he's approaching 70 now, still does pretty well. So let's break this down in parts. As a movie goes, I thought I would have given it a 2 out of 5 flakes, but Jennifer loved it. She came out of there all excited. We went with some friends, so there were 4 of us. 3 of us walked out of there shaking our heads and going, what the hell was that? And then Jennifer's like, oh, that was so cool. Now, she had another reason for liking this movie, which she expressed to everybody very loudly on the way out. And what was the other reason?
Well, I wanted to give props to the director and the cameraman for providing ample opportunities to view Daniel Craig's really adorable bum. That was the best part of the whole movie.
I can go with that. I mean, Daniel Craig is, I think he was People's Sexiest Man Alive. I mean, my God, the guy is amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
I think it was more violent than I expected it to be. That was the first thing. I don't know what I was expecting. Steven Spielberg was involved in this one, and I just wasn't expecting it to be quite that violent. And I think that's where what caught everybody off guard. I don't know if we were expecting a cross between E.T. and Star Wars, but you almost went into horror movie time with some of the things that went on. This was really across. There were evidence of Star Wars in this movie, obviously evidence of an old Western. There was evidence of Alien, the movie Alien, very pointed references to the movie Alien. You had a little bit of a bunch of different movies in here. The dialogue, and Jennifer has to agree with this, was horrendous.
Oh, it was classic Western dialogue. I mean, just like, really?
Yes.
But that wasn't what the movie was about. It was like, shoot the bad guys and blow stuff up and gallop across the desert and stuff.
There were some points where the dialogue was so bad, everybody in the audience looked at each other and went, what?
Really? It was that bad?
Yeah.
I got to say, the chick that was in the movie, Abigail Spencer, hasn't been in any big movies. She's been in TV shows and played extras and some stuff. She was good. Didn't you think, Jennifer? I thought she was good.
She wasn't any better than Daniel Craig.
But she had eyes for Daniel Craig was the girl candy. She was the guy candy because her eyes were out of this world.
That's all she did, too. She just looked at those eyeballs.
That's all she had to do, Jennifer. That's
right.
All she had to do. So, but now let's get to the horses in the movie. So
yes.
Daniel Craig, remember last week he confessed that he didn't know how to ride, and he's always told directors he knows how to ride, but he really didn't know how to ride. Well, that was fairly evident in the movie that he didn't know how to ride.
Really?
But
was he bouncing around? Was he posting on the wrong guy?
No, when actually Daniel Craig and or Daniel Craig's stuntman, because except for the really close-up shots, it was his stuntman.
Yeah, like the galloping.
Better sitting on the horse than Harrison. On the way movie, we all nicknamed Harrison Ford riding style the Claw.
Awful, and I don't know if he was doing this to portray a character or if he just is a sucky rider, because he was holding his hand up by his chest. One hand with the reins up by his chest the whole time, and it made it look like he had a claw. And that's how he got the nickname the Claw. It was awful. It was awful.
But he had a good-looking horse.
He had a nicer horse than Daniel Craig did. They gave Daniel Craig the ugliest horse in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
By far. What
was it?
Well, and there were a couple. It's hard to tell. I think there were a bunch of Heinz 57s in this one. But the horse that they gave the girl was a walking horse. And I'm shocked Jennifer didn't notice that. Two of us noticed that it was a walking horse because there were a lot of distant shots of her riding, and it was definitely a walking horse. So I would give it a 3 out of 5 flakes. Jennifer probably gives it a 4, don't you?
Yes. I just thought it was fun. It was just, it wasn't well made. It wasn't a good script. It was just fun.
I thought I could have probably seen it on video and been just as happy. I don't know that I would have had to have seen it on. Would you agree with that, Jennifer?
Oh, yes. This isn't one that the big screen is required. This is get the big popcorn. It's Transformers meets John Wayne, really. It's blow stuff up, run through the desert, shoot the bad guys, everybody lives happily ever after kind of story, yeah.
So that's one of the reviews I'm reading is that everybody was so excited to see a Western with these people in it, and it turned into a weird Western space alien kind of thing, which I think is the point of it. But do you think if they'd made it either funny or really focused on the Western angle, it would have been better?
There were a few moments of a chuckle. I wouldn't say
yeah.
it was funny. It wasn't.
Plays himself, and he's.
It wasn't Hangover funny. You know, it wasn't the Hangover funny, but there were a few chuckles in it. Now Harrison Ford played Harrison Ford, as Jennifer said. So, you know, you got Harrison Ford throughout the whole thing. So if you like Harrison Ford, he was playing himself. You know, Harrison Ford is a lot like John Wayne. There was a reference too, and I'm not going to give it away. There was one scene where it was definitely. You know which one I'm talking about, Jennifer? Towards the end, where it was Indiana Jones.
Yes.
It was a definite Indiana Jones scene, and I think it was intentionally made to be an Indiana Jones scene.
Yes.
So there were just multiple movies in this. You went, oh, that's from that movie, that's from that movie, and you could tell they were sort of trying it. They were intentionally doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you did have the full circle, though, with Harrison Ford, because remember, he started in Star Wars. So, and he's back to an alien movie at the age of 70.
Okay.
Yeah. He was doing one of the late night shows last week, and they did a scene with Chewbacca, came into the scene, and he told Chewbacca to get lost because Daniel Craig is his new Wookiee bitch. So
what?
That was his way of taking it full circle.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sorry that the dialogue was bad and that the movie wasn't that great. I still want to go see it in the theater just because it's a Western alien movie and it sounds so cool.
Well, why would somebody review that movie and say, "Oh, well, it turned into an alien movie"? It's called Cowboys and Aliens.
It's an alien. Yeah, it's supposed to be an alien movie.
I know. It's a
I gotta say this, and I won't give it away either, but you'll see, and you'll agree with me when you see this part. The reason the aliens are here was like one of those what moments. It was totally a what moment.
Okay.
So that's all
okay,
I'm gonna say about
enough.
That. Yeah.
Don't want to hear anymore.
So I would say, yeah, go see it, but don't expect a lot of heavy dialogue. Don't expect a lot of plot. Go to just see a good action movie.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm disappointed. But again, Rebecca said it was a weird, terrible movie except for the shirtless Daniel Craig.
Well, apparently all the women are agreeing on that.
Okay, good to know. Well, I'm sorry that stinks, but at least you did get to go see a good movie in the form of Harry Potter. So Harry Potter, thumbs up, Cowboys and Aliens, thumbs down, and Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig, neither one can ride horses. And somebody was on a walking horse. That's shocking. Shocking.
Well, if you think about it, they probably had a lot of walking horses back then.
Really?
Now, I will say the little boy in the movie, I'm going to add
when
this.
When you say back then, they probably had a lot of walking horses, was back then in the 1800s or when the aliens attacked? Which back then are we talking about?
The aliens attacked in the 1800s, so it's both.
Correct. Okay, so maybe back then would be, oh, I remember that historical moment when the aliens attacked. You're right. Okay.
Now,
sorry, no.
The little boy that was in the movie, I think, was one of the best performers in the movie, actually. Was one of the best actors in the movie. He did a great job, and you really felt for the little boy and the dog. The little boy and the dog were the ones that you really cared about in this movie were the little boy and the dog. So, once again, the animals and the kids steal the show.
Okay. Good to know. So, maybe wait for video is what I'm getting.
You did not go to the movies this weekend.
I did not.
You had important tasks.
I what?
You had important tasks to take care of this weekend. No time for movies.
Yes, I was supposed to have important tasks. Jennifer,
uh-oh.
Thank you for mentioning that. I was supposed to go horse shopping this weekend. Do you remember?
You were supposed
to
go see the world's most giantest horse.
I was supposed to go ride for a student of mine an 18-2-hand warm blood that was for sale. And we were super excited to go try him out, even though she was like, "I don't need an 18-2-hand horse." And I'm like, "Shut up, we're going to go ride it and get a picture with it." And so we went online to call her that morning, and the advertisement was sold. The horse was sold already.
You didn't get to ride the elephant, the big one?
No, I didn't. I was so disappointed.
I wanted to see pictures
really
of your little body on that 18-tan warm blood.
And that's exactly why I wanted to do it, was just for pictures. I knew she really didn't need an 18-2-hand horse, but she is taller, so I thought, I keep telling her, I said, the more horses that you try, the more you're going to have a better idea of what you want. And I think that that's important when you are horse shopping for your forever friend. You need to really get out there and give it a go. So we went to try that one, sold. The other ones, I just really feel like, it's kind of like Really Bad Ads comes to life. It Really Bad Ads exists not only on paper, but in your phone calls with people. I think people forget that they're selling something. You want to sell your horse, you need to be available to show your horse. How about, let's see, how about you come next 2 weeks from Friday? Well, no. I would like to come see the horse now or today or this weekend at some point. Yeah, I don't know if I could really get it. I'm going to be busy. Are you trying to sell the horse or not? So it seems like people really want to sell their horses, and we just couldn't get anybody to show us their horse. It was quite frustrating. So the horse shopping continues. We will continue to look. We got to see nothing this weekend, but we did get to ride our own horses quite a bit. Had a group Saturday morning and Sunday morning. All my girls came over Sunday morning and at 6:30 and had a nice long ride and rode out in the desert. So it was fun. It was overcast. It was nice. And so we did it. That was it. That was the most exciting. Oh, I did have an exciting moment with my husband.
Okay. Is this PG?
I can do it. Not that kind
okay.
of exciting.
I
moment.
Had so many lines there, and I had to come up with one that was clean because I was going, you know, the other line was, you've only had one the entire time?
But no, he got in a gator wreck.
Is this unusual, the exciting moments? I have so many lines there.
Just write them all down. No, he wrecked our gator and actually suffered an injury.
He wrecked the gator?
He wrecked our little green John Deere.
They're not supposed to turn over.
I know. He was driving along and he was dragging the arena, and we have jumps in the arena.
He wrecked
so he was like,
the gator dragging the arena? It's flat.
No, it's so bad. So he wrecks. He apparently hit one of the jumps with the drag. And he said the gator was going 20 miles an hour from 20 to zero. And he got thrown forward and scraped all of the hide off of his forearms because he was holding the steering wheel. And then he was shoved forward. So he raked all the skin off his arm. So I've been putting aloe on it. He had little aloe and vet wrap wrapped around his arms. You never see a fighter pilot in vet wrap. So it was kind of exciting. So that was pretty much my weekend. It was kind of boring.
Not only that, he has to go explain that to the guys at work, how he got hurt driving a gator on a flat top.
He's a fighter pilot and he wrecks a gator.
You're going to have to put his flight. You're going to have to make him wear his flight suit and his parachute next time, just in case.
I know, right? He needs that little protective suit that inflates. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. He's in here. He's rolling his eyes at me. He's so mad.
Can you have him wear your air vest? You need him to wear your air vest next time.
Hey, can he wear my .2 air vest next time you drag the arena? Oh, he's mad. This is not a good Monday start. Stop getting me in trouble.
I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
You
Let's
mentioned
do the commercial
vest.
Get to our guest. All right. Do you want to do it? Go ahead.
I got to find it first. You go ahead.
All right. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. They have dozens of products to help your horses in a number of areas, including energy, immunity, muscles, respiratory, and vitamins and minerals. Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. They specialize in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by Omega Alpha using the finest natural ingredients available. Look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. I'm kind of excited. We're going in 2 weeks here. We're going to be leaving 2 weeks, right? Next week, Jamie. We're going to be going to the ADA conference. We'll be doing a live show from there, and we get to see Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha every time we go, and he's always very interesting to speak with, and we learn a lot when we're there. So if you want to learn a lot, visit omegaalpha.ca. All right, time for our first guest.
Yes, I'm super excited about talking to her because this is something that we really have been interested in doing for a long time, and I think that our two-part interview with Madeline Pickens really drove it home, and that is to adopt a Mustang. And so we have Stacy Coleman on the line, who is the president of the Wild Horse and Burro Expo. If you guys remember, last week we posted a photo of a horse online that we just had no idea what color it was. It's almost like a bay buckskin body coat with a silver mane and tail. And lots of people posted what color they think that horse is. But that's actually one of the Mustangs that's going to be up for adoption. So, first of all, let's say hello to Stacy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this early Monday morning. I know you're on the West Coast along with me, so it's quite early for you. But tell us a little bit about the Wild Horse and Burro Expo that's coming up.
Well, it's a three-day show that we put on. It starts Friday the 19th and goes through the 21st of August. We have all sorts of different events that are planned for this. We've got Charles Wilhelm Helm as our main clinician. We've got vendors, silent raffles, auctions. We've got all sorts of different things. The classes go anywhere from halter to cow classes, trail, everything in between.
And is this for horses, burros, wild horses, personal horses, Mustangs only?
It is Mustangs and burros only. So this showcases all the Mustangs and burros that were once formerly wild and have been adopted. It's a huge showcase for the prison-trained horses that will be there. We've got 10 of them that we're going up for adoption from the Stewart Camp facility in Carson City, Nevada.
Now, this is what really got me to call you guys and to want to get you on the air, because I think this is a phenomenal program. And this is, I got to work with some prison-trained Mustangs at the Kentucky Horse Park, and it's such a cool program. And so if you want to tell everybody just about that and how did that start?
Well, the prison train program came about through a collaboration with Silver State Industries and the BLM. They, just like a couple of other programs that they have going on in different prisons where they take dogs and use them as utility animals, they decided that they could help promote the Mustang by having the inmates do the training and then adopt them out. And they do about 4 adoptions a year, one of them being at our expo. The unique thing about the expo one is the horses and the inmates actually compete on their Mustangs amongst themselves for top honors. So they're actually in 4 classes for the weekend that they all try to do the very best they can in order to get that top spot. And then the horses on Saturday are adopted off. So it's kind of a nice way to see the horses in an area that's very stressful, and they've never really been out and about. They've been at the prison, and then they come to the expo where there's a lot going on, and it's really nice to see them come out of their shell and really excel at what they love to do. So it's
now,
a great program.
Now, you talking about the horses or the guys coming out of their shell? Because I've taken my thoroughbred, who's been everywhere on the racetrack, and then I took him to his first show, and coming out of his shell included, like, pitching and bucking and rearing. So when you talk about the Mustangs coming out of their shells, what exactly do you mean?
Well, you see these horses who were wild, and some of them not too long ago. I mean, some of these guys just came out of a gather or just came out of the pens within the last 3 or 4 months. So here you have a horse that was running wild, came through one of the collection centers, and then was sent off to the prison and put into the program. And now all of a sudden they have this inmate who's been working with them for 120 days, and they're at their first show. So it's amazing to see this, and luckily we go down and take pictures 30 days after they've started with these horses. So I get to see the horses when they're just starting the program and then the finished product at the show. And it's amazing the transformation that these horses do within that 120 days. They really do come out of their shell. Some of these horses were terrified and they had no idea what was going on. And here they are at this unbelievable event, and they don't know what to do, so they look to their rider, and their rider tells them it's okay, and both the inmate and the horse have this connection that the horse trusts the inmate, and he tells them it's okay, and the horse is like, oh yeah, I believe you, I'm going to do this, and they really do, they come through all these different obstacles end up shining. It's an amazing transformation.
Well, so these inmates, when first of all, do they all have horse backgrounds, or is there somebody helping them to train the horse?
They have a head trainer that is Hank Curry, and Hank is an amazing trainer in his own right. He's been with the program for over 10 years now, and he does a great job with these guys, and he handpicks the inmates, and not all of them have worked with horses in the past. Some of them have never seen a horse before. They were city boys that came to the program, and they're in a low-risk facility, so these aren't, you know, murderers and all that. These guys are just people who made mistakes, and they're paying for it, and they have been chosen for this program, and Hank molds them into trainers and does a great job with the guys as well as the horses.
Now, do they get to come over to the auction? Do any of them get to come out and play or see it?
They're there the whole weekend.
Oh, really?
They get
wow.
there in the morning. Yep. They get there in the morning. It's part of their kind of an out program. They've earned this privilege, and they don't blow it, most of them. I mean, some of them, yes, there are accidents, but most of them work very hard in staying in this program because it's a very special program.
So cool. When this weekend is over, are these guys done with the Mustangs, or are they kind of the guys that get the next crop as well, or do you rotate them?
They are always working with horses down there. Like I said, 4 adoptions a year. So the one after us will be in October at the facility in Carson City. So they're already working with the horses that they're going to be having in the October event. So there's constantly a stream of horses, and I think there's about 20 inmates that do this program. Some of them have multiple horses going, and others just have the one that they're working with. These horses are worked with for 6 to 8 hours a day. It's very intense. So these guys have a lot of time to work with these horses and get them a good foundation, a good start on them. I actually have one of the prison-trained horses.
Oh, you better. You're there all the time. I don't know how you picked one. But I want to know, how does this positively affect these inmates? Do they leave prison and go work with horses? How does that affect? Because I think it's such a great program, because I think that education is just the foundation for our country, and or it should be. And I think that's what you guys are providing there with these Mustangs, and you're providing them with compassion and a potential future job. What do you see? Do these guys come back to prison after they're released, or are they, you know, how does it affect them?
We actually have one of the former inmates that we'll be showing at our event this year. He has become a horse trainer out in the real world, shall we say, and he is doing an amazing job with them. He's out in Fallon, Nevada, and he will be at the show, and he has, I think, 4 horses that he is showing with us this year. And so, yes, there are tremendous success stories with it. Obviously, there are some that relapse, but mostly they go on and become very successful in whatever they end up doing in life.
I think that's fantastic. I applaud you guys, and I think that it's such a great program for the Mustangs as well, because these horses, it's quite intimidating for people to just get a wild horse, and the fact that they've been worked with and supervised and handled and gentled, you know, it really encourages people to go ahead and bid. I know that, unfortunately, if you guys would let me bid online, that little Mustang with the silver mane and tail will come home to my house right now. but it's kind of a long drive to Reno. So I think it's great what you guys are doing. Tell us a little bit about the classes that we'll see these horses in. Do they do Western English? What kind?
We do everything. It starts off Friday morning with the halter and showmanship classes. We move into English riding the rest of the day on Friday. Saturday becomes our Western day. We have cow classes, Western pleasure, reining. We have all of those. Then Sunday becomes our speed events. So we do the barrels and poles, gymkhana things. The boroughs are also included in that. We do driving, both on in hand and with cart. We try to hit everything for everyone, packing classes, all of that. So
how many,
it's a lot of fun.
How many horses will you have, or how many of both? How many equines will you have there?
Well, we're still taking applications, so we're not sure yet. Right at the moment, it looks like we've got a fair amount of entries coming in. Burros, we usually have about 15. They do tend to be the smaller number, but they're always the most fun to watch.
Yeah, they're just cute in a stubborn sort of way.
They are cute. Extremely talented, too.
Cool.
So,
well, that's terrific. This sounds like fun. I wish I lived closer.
But you guys do travel at all, or are these shows pretty much all in Reno?
Well, the show's all in Reno. There is a group of us that try to do parades around. We go to Bishop Mule Days. We do the parade down there. We also try to hit, there's this one called the Lumberjack Parade in Pioneer, California. So we try to hit as many areas as we can to promote adoption and show people that these animals are, you know, not these wild, untamable creatures, that they are viable animals that John Q. Public can enjoy. The burros are, of course, the little comedians of the group, and they try for all their worth to make sure that the crowd laughs. But you know, people see this and they go, we had no idea that you could do this with a burro, or that you could, that a Mustang would accept this. And quite honestly, they do better than a lot of my domestic divas. So.
And you have Charles Wilhelm coming to do clinics for you at this show, right?
We do indeed.
Yeah.
He will be there all 3 days. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Charles is a big supporter. He's been with us for several years. And this year he said he would be willing to come up and be the main clinician. So it'll be nice to have him.
Cool.
Stacey,
sounds like fun.
I have an important burrow question for you, Stacey. I was surfing about the Wild Horse and Burrow website. And lots of cool pictures of burros doing all kinds of strange things that I didn't know burros could do. But I've noticed that there seems to be two different types of burros. The burros that just look like a donkey that you and I would be familiar with. And then there seems to be the long-haired Persian burro that has hair like crazy. What's the deal with the two different kinds of hair coats on a burro?
Well, most of it's winter versus summer, quite honestly. A lot of burros, especially when they're young, will have a very long hair coat for protection out there in the wild, both from elements as well as the brush that they live in. Mm-hmm. And then as they get older, they tend to not get quite as long a coat. Yes, there are breeds out there that keep their coats the longer ones. But
so genetically, there
in
are
general,
some subspecies of burros mm-hmm. that tend to be fuzzier.
Yes.
Okay.
But mostly what you see, at least out here on the West Coast, are the burros that will shed it out during the spring and summer months.
Got it.
But when they're babies, they all look like these big giant fluff balls.
They're fluff balls.
You can't even see their eyes. They're just so hairy.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
All right. They're way cute. Oh, my gosh, they're so stinking cute. Everybody go check out wildhorseandburroexpo.com. They've got all the pictures of the prison horses and the inmates actually riding them in this beautiful setting in Reno. I guess it'd be Carson City area.
Actually, the show is in Reno.
Right, no, but I'm saying where the prison Mustangs are right now.
Stewart Camp, yes. It is a beautiful facility.
Oh, my gosh, it's absolutely gorgeous. And these horses are online. And I think that we would like to bid on War Paint and Chubbs. So they're both so stinking cute. So how much do these usually go for on average? Because I know the prices vary. It just depends.
Right, and it depends on how motivated the buyers are. But on average, the horses go from $800 to $1,200 on average. Some of them mm-hmm. for a lot less, and some of them for a whole lot more.
See, now, if you allowed phone bidding, if you allowed phone bidding, I think they would go higher because Jamie would be on the phone bidding away.
Unfortunately, we haven't figured out how to do the whole internet connection while we're at the showground yet. But I will bring that up with BLM and see if we can get something tapped in.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I mean, it's BLM for God's sake. They have the whole government. They can get one geek down there to get you an internet connection to bid on there.
You would think so.
Yeah, Jamie would be right there. She'd be buying two of them.
What is the record? What is the highest that any one of these Mustangs has gone for?
The record horse sold last year, actually, at the October event for $8,900.
Wow.
He was a three-year-old red roan. He was 16 hands. He was a big, stout boy, and he is now a roping horse down in Carson City.
Wow.
Oh,
cool.
That's great. Very cool. Well, we are so excited about this. I seriously wish we could go bid because my husband keeps talking about war painting chubs. So if for some reason they don't get adopted, call me because we'll take them both. Wildhorse@BurroExpo.com. Everybody go check it out. If you're in that area, please go or find another one to go support. You guys, this is you know, part two of Madeline Pickens' journey. You know, she goes in there and she wants to save them all, and these guys, they're not only saving them, they're training them and making them available to you. So I think it's a fantastic program. Thank you so much for joining us, Stacy Coleman, and we hope to see you there very soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it and look forward to seeing you in the future.
All right, thanks, Stacy. Right.
Bye-bye.
But,
you know, one of the things I learned on their website was that the only remaining mounted color guard in the U.S. Marine Corps has 5 riders, and they're all riding BLM Mustangs. Isn't that cool?
No way. That's awesome.
So the Marines are the only one they have left that are mounted are riding Mustangs. So that's pretty cool, too. That's neat. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for our song for the day, and then we'll come back. We'll do Black Beauty, and then we have a bunch of news to do for the weekend roundup today. Some interesting stories out there and some funny ones and some, of course, some more rescues that we have to talk about. Today I picked a song, and just for Jamie, because one of the things we haven't talked about is you're going away, but you're still going to be doing the show.
Yes, as soon as this show is over, I get to get in the car and make an almost 11-hour drive up to a little town called Pagosa Springs in Colorado to spend the entire week with Chad and his entire family.
Well, I think that every other town in Colorado is something Springs. I think they just weren't very creative when they moved into Colorado. The settlers were going, well, there's a spring over there. Let's just call that something Springs. And then it's something Springs over here. And then something Springs over here. Just seems to be that way. But it sounds pretty.
We just keep trying to find South Park, Colorado. We just want to go stay there, but I can't even find it on the map.
You just want to spend a night with Cartman. respect my intelligence. Respect my authority. All right, we are this song. You asked me if we had a road traveling song, and I couldn't really find one, so this is the closest I could come up with. This is Templeton Thompson singing, "We Are All on Our Way Somewhere." See? So it sort of fits.
Perfect.
Brown hair and blue jeans, just a baby. Still so naive for wonder. Are you really me? 33, never even crossed your mind. But it got here so fast, I almost left you behind. Recognize me now. sometimes I miss what it meant to be young. Oh yeah, I remember you, little girl, big dreams, nothing to lose, a pocket full of possibilities and wings only up to you. You might not even recognize.
Templeton Thompson, and I was trying to remember what the name of that song was. Glenn, you said we're all on our way somewhere?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
That's right. Yeah.
I would have thought it was said, I remember you, because that's what she kept saying in the end. I'm like, did he play the wrong song?
We're all on our way somewhere. The somewhere you just happen to be heading is a week in the mountains of Colorado. So it's not ski season, so are you going to do some zip lining while you're up there?
You know, I wish I would zip line because that was way fun when I was in Hawaii. We zip lined, but I think that the main goal of this trip is to hike. We're going to take our bikes up there and fishing and those sorts of things. So just kind of some outdoorsy activities.
Too bad you don't have a black horse and a carriage. You could go driving while you're up there in the hills.
You know, they won't even let me bring my dog. So they're definitely not going to let me bring Black Beauty to drive him around. We might overcheck on. It's a bearing rein, Glenn. It's called a bearing rein. Are you done being a jerk now? Can you hit the music?
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 34, An Old War Horse, Part 2. I cannot tell all that happened on that day, but I will tell of the last charge that we made together. It was across a valley right in front of the enemy's cannon. By this time, we were well used to the roar of heavy guns, the rattle of musket fire, and the flying of shot near us, but never had I been under such a fire as we rode through on that day. From the right, from the left, from the front, shot and shell poured upon us. Many a brave man went down, many a horse fell, flinging his rider to the earth, and many a horse without a rider ran wildly out of the ranks, then terrified at being alone with no hand to guide him, came pressing in amongst his old companions to gallop with them to the charge. Fearful as it was, no one stopped, no one turned back. Every moment the ranks were thinned, but as our comrades fell, we closed in to keep them close together. Instead of being shaken or staggered at our pace, our gallop became faster and faster as we neared the cannon, all clouded in white smoke, whilst the red fire flashed through it. My master, my dear master, was cheering on his comrades with his right arm raised on high, when one of the balls whizzing close to my head struck him. I felt him stagger with the shock, though he uttered no cry. I tried to check my speed, but the sword dropped from his right hand, the rein fell loose from the left, and sinking backward from the saddle, he fell to the earth. The other riders swept past us, and by the force of their charge, I was driven from the spot where he fell. I wanted to keep my place by his side and not leave him under the rush of horses' feet, but it was in vain, and now, without a master or a friend, I was alone on that great slaughter ground. Then fear took a hold of me, and I trembled as I have never trembled before, and I, too, as I had seen other horses do, tried to join in the ranks and gallop with them, but I was beaten off by the swords of the soldiers. Just then, a soldier whose horse had been killed under him caught my bridle and mounted me, and with his new master, I was again going forward. But our gallant company was cruelly overpowered, and those who remained alive after the fierce fight for the guns came galloping back over the same ground. Some of the horses had been so badly wounded that they could scarcely move from the loss of blood. Other noble creatures were lying on three legs, trying to drag themselves along, and others were struggling to rise on their 4 feet when their hind legs had been shattered by the shot. Their groans were piteous to hear, and the beseeching look in their eyes at those who had escaped passed by left them to their fate. I shall never forget. After the battle, the wounded men were brought in, and the dead were buried. And what about the wounded horses, I said? Were they left to die? No, the army farriers went over the field with their pistols and shot all that were ruined. Some had only slight wounds and were brought back and attended to, but the greater part of the noble, willing creatures that went out that morning never came back. In our stables, there was only about 1 in 4 that returned. I never saw my dear master again. I believe he fell dead from the saddle. I never loved any master so well. I went into many other engagements, but it was only I was once wounded, and then not seriously, and when the war was over, I came back to England as sound and strong as when I went out. I said, I have heard people talk about war as if it was a very fine thing. Ah, said he, I should think they never saw it. No doubt it is very fine when there is no enemy, and when it is just exercise and parade and sham fight. Yes, it is very fine then, but when thousands of good, brave men and horses are killed or crippled for life, it has a very different look. Do you know what they fought about, said I? No, he said. That is more than a horse can understand. But the enemy must have been awfully wicked people if it was right to go all the way over the sea on purpose to kill them. Tomorrow, Chapter 35, Jerry Barker.
That's an exciting chapter. That was the most exciting chapter yet. It had everything to make it's almost like Cowboys and Aliens. It had all the excitement and thrill. When did the aliens come?
But with better dialogue. But with better dialogue, apparently. But see, that's what's awesome about Black Beauty. It spans time, okay? War, just like Captain was describing, it's, you know, a very fine thing indeed, unless you're actually there and you have an enemy. So, you know, just this book is timeless. It's a timeless classic, Glenn. It's perfect. Sorry. I'm done.
Okay.
But yes,
hey, I want to
The death and destruction in this chapter was your favorite, second only to when the girl got run away with on the horse and almost died. So we know what you good kind of chapters you'd like.
And good luck with that, Tom. I want to see what he does with the Carnage Count after this chapter. So a couple things to review on Facebook before we go into our weekend roundup. The first thing is some of the names coming in of you asked for earlier in the show, the worst horse name ever. Well, you had brought up one you found called Yummy with Butter and owned by a guy by the name of Chicken Dance, which was kind of interesting. But a couple of them, Whiskey in a Jar was one I thought was pretty good that Dina submitted. Also, I think my favorite, and if you've read them, by the way, there was one called Lord Donut. I thought that was pretty good, Lord Donut. Jennifer still gets her Dunkin' Donuts every Saturday morning. We haven't stopped that tradition since we've been in Kentucky. It's just not every day now. And then, of course, my favorite, sent in by Biz Dam. She once came across a racehorse named Bodacious Tatas.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
And then, Robin, go ahead.
I like Colleen's. There's a mini donkey at her stable. His name is Balls. That's funny.
And then actually Robin said that this weekend I drove a horse for the first time and did not fail. Congratulations, Robin. That's always fun when you get to drive your first horse. And despite what Jamie says, it's a lot of fun. And then Robert Dunn says he's been to Pegasus Springs, Colorado, and it's gorgeous country, and it sounds like you're going to have a pretty place to go this week. And you'll be broadcasting from there every morning, right?
Did you just call it Pegasus Springs? That'd be way cooler.
Sorry.
Pegasus Springs sounds awesome. But no, it's Pegasus Springs. And yes, it is very gorgeous. It's just near Durango. I mean, that whole entire part of the country is just gorgeous. And it's going to be a beautiful drive up there. And I'm actually more excited about it now that I hired a new farm sitter. And he came over last night. And I really appreciated his questions and his comments and how thorough he was. And so I'm feeling a little bit better about leaving, especially with, you know, all the dogs and horses and my chicken. Anyway, so it just all depends on who you have staying at your place. And
I'm feeling good. Is this poor guy that's farm sitting for you going to have to give the 85 medicines to your dogs?
Yes. However, what I did is I put everything in a Ziploc baggie, and I wrote the name of the dog and then a description of the dog and how many they were supposed to get and when. So this poor guy, because when I hired him, he said, "How many of your dogs get pills?" And I was like, "Oh, just one." That was before the two emergency vet trip visits. And so I'm like, remember when I told you one? Well, it's like 3 out of 4 now. So this one needs it this time, twice a day. But I did make all the grain for him with all the million supplements, and I put those in Ziploc baggies with the horse's name on it and the description of the horse. So we are completely good as far as the feeding and everything goes like that. So I'm feeling very confident. I worked very hard to get everything set up just perfect, and he's going to stay here for the entire week, and it makes me a lot happier.
Cool. Well, good luck with that. Let's hope this works out better than the last one.
Yeah, I definitely hope so. And remember the dog that Boomer got in a fight with? He was this stray dog coming down the driveway, and Boomer attacked it and ripped his ear. And the animal control has been out, count it, 5 times and cannot catch this dog. 5 times.
They have spotted it but can't catch it? In other words, they do see it. They found it.
They see him every single time, every single time. And I think that's why they keep coming, because they just get madder and madder. So at some point we need a blow dart or something to sedate him and tranquilize him, because he's a big, angry dog. He's a big, old, angry dog. So I wish Animal Control the best of luck this next week. I will not be here to help you again.
Some Animal Controls actually do have dart guns, but I think others, they have to call the vet out to do the dart gun thing. But sometimes with those dogs, that's the only way you're going to catch them.
We put Benadryl in goat's milk and left it out for him, and it didn't even work.
Benadryl in goat's milk.
My neighbors have goats, so they milk them.
But there were a lot of other sleepy dogs in the neighborhood.
My dogs haven't moved in 3 days. I don't know why.
All right, let's do the weekend roundup. Let's get to the news from the weekend.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
And the weekend roundup today is sponsored by Pocket Stable. How do you keep your track of your horse's information, like farrier visits and shots? Do you have a full box of receipts, post-it notes, or maybe perhaps you just don't keep track at all and you just sort of guess? Well, the solution to this problem is right there in your iPhone, and it's called Pocket Stable. It keeps all of your horse's information in one easy-to-get-to place, including vaccines. And when I'm talking about vaccines, boy, Jamie, on that program, they list about every kind of vaccine that you can imagine you can put in there. Worming, farriers, dentist visits, and the weight of your horse, whatever you need to keep track of, you just do it right there in Pocket Stable. You can even put some notes in and things like that. And you can find it in the app. Go ahead.
They have botulism, Potomac horse fever, strangles, anthrax, flu, rhino, the rhino intervals, West Nile, rabies. They have everything. It's pretty funny. And you don't have to give all those, obviously.
No, I was just saying, you don't have to give all those. A lot of people do. Find Pocket Stable in the App Store on your phone or visit them at pocketstable.com. Well, the first story I've got for you today, of course, is a wedding story, because Eventer and granddaughter of the Queen. Zara Phillips got married over the weekend. It was the second royal wedding this year. Now, it was a little bit more quiet and not so pomp and circumstance. Apparently, she didn't really want a huge wedding, so they just had a little royal wedding. And she married rugby player Mike Tyndall, and they got married in Edinburgh, Scotland. So, her dress was beautiful. She looked pretty, and she's, of course, a well-known equestrian there in England. She's an eventer. And she's retiring one of her famous horses, whose name totally escapes me now. What was the name of her horse? Do you remember, Jamie?
No, I'll have to find it. I forget.
Yeah, I forget too. But that's also happening at the same time. I'll find the name of that horse. But so Zara Phillips married over the weekend.
Awesome. Well, congratulations to her. It's kind of like one of those things you go, hey, Grandma, do you mind
Toy
if
Town.
I get married?
Toy Town, the
go.
Name of the horse. Sorry about that. Okay.
Hey, Grandma, do you mind if I go ahead and book my wedding in your Scotland home, Queen Grandma?
Well, the Queen was there, and everybody was there, so I'm sure there was a very nice party in Scotland.
Do you think she called her Grammy or Grandma or Grandma or anything like that, or does she call her Grandmother? I don't know. Queen Grandmother.
Do you think Leah was invited?
Probably not. I'm going to go with just because he's, you know, in the European nation. It doesn't mean he was invited. Okay, so speaking of wild horses, like we did earlier, Chicoteague Roundup took place over the weekend, and I still want to hear from our listener who was actually there. Wasn't Karen there?
Yeah, I thought Karen. Was it Karen? I know one of our listeners was there, and we didn't hear back from her, so I don't know if she bought a horse or not.
Well, the highest price paid for one of the ponies was $6,700, and then the buyer bought it and then donated it back to the fire department to live on Assateague Island. So actually pretty much a charitable kind of deal where a lot of them are bought back and then turned free. However, there were lots of ponies sold. 68 were sold at the auction for an average price of $1,300 a piece, and they made over $93,000 for the Chicoteague Volunteer Fire Company. The lowest price was $450. So cheap ponies and foals and lots of expensive ones too. It's actually the average is up. It was $1,309 last year, $1,378 this year, and only 59 were sold last year. 68 were sold this year. I want to talk to somebody who was there or who has ever been to one, because it sounds like it's just this big, exciting pony auction and everybody goes crazy. One of the people said that they went to just watch it and ended up bidding on stuff, you know, just because you get kind of swept up in the excitement of the whole thing. But I think it's really cool, and I'm glad they're doing it. And sounds like there's a lot of foals being born on that island every year. My gosh, it's 60, average of 60 a year.
Yeah, and it's not that big an island. I can see why they have to why they have to do this every year, and obviously they're keeping the population down. And it's a cool thing that all of them get bought every year, and for good money. I mean, with an average price of almost $1,400, that's not bad.
Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Come on. You don't need that many, though. There's plenty of other horses that need home. Sorry, I'm not going to get on my soapbox.
All right. One of the stories that in the Sequoia National Forest right now, that is out there in the Sierra Nevada, they have a huge fire going on. And one of the ways that they get and have apparently for generations, they get supplies to the firefighters are with horses and mules. So they actually do pack trains of horses and mules because it's the only way they can get the supplies to the 55 firefighters that are working on the 1,600-acre fire. And they apparently have been doing this for years. And they haul about, they haul about 1,200 pounds of food and supplies per trip, and they can do these round trips in about 9 hours. So they really are helpful. Normally they can bring it in by helicopter drops, but if the smoke gets too bad, they can't. So that's when they rely on the horses and the mules. So there's there's some doing some good work out there in on the West Coast.
Wow, that's really cool because we were just learning about the mules that are brave enough to go down into the Grand Canyon 100 times a day with people on them. So it gives you a new respect for mules. They're just workhorses, you know? I mean,
yep.
For lack of a better word, they. I mean, I guess some of them are pretty stubborn, but for the most part, they just get the job done. Hey, this is not funny, and I don't mean to laugh, but this is posted by Stephen Lemongello. Or Lemongello, the staff writer in the Goshen Township and Middle Township. I don't even know where that is, but it's probably somewhere in Pennsylvania. No. But a man was injured when he was crushed between a horse and a stall wall at an equine facility on Friday. And the only thing that I could imagine when I heard that is you put a horse in the cross ties and they move over and you go to push them away and they push back against you. You know what I mean? Like they just start to squish you up against the stall wall. So this man was injured and he was taken to the hospital and he had some internal injuries, probably some broken ribs. But teach your horse to move away from you when you push on him. Don't have him just run over on top of you.
Yeah, that's never a good idea. Hey, Jamie, I think we have a caller on the line, and I'm going to take this call right now. I think it's Karen. Is this Karen?
Where's my thing? Yes, it is.
Hey, this
hey!
Is Karen.
Hi.
Who actually went to the Chickatee Pony sale. Did you buy one?
Yes, I did.
Yay! What'd you get?
I got a stallion, chestnut stallion. He has a heart on his forehead, and that's what got me to keep bidding for him.
Wow.
Oh,
now, did you go
so
planning
cool.
to buy one, or were you one of those people that went, oh, I can't resist?
No, I didn't go to buy one. In fact, I attended a pony penning a couple years ago, and it was too hot, and I said I'd never go again because of the crowds and the heat. And my cousin was with us, and she actually met a couple who had a house right on the island where the ponies run up. And they hoard there until the run through the town. And then she met that couple, and they invited us to their house. So we spent the morning with them, and I said, well, then I'm definitely going because it was staying in an air-conditioned house. And it was wonderful. They had the ponies right there. We went down to their dock, watched them swim. We had front row seats. I got pictures. I will post them. And so I had no intentions of going, and then I saw a couple horse ponies there that I liked. I said, I'll just go to auction and see how they make out. And then I got involved in it, and I start bidding. I said, I won't go over $700. So I kept going through the bidding process, and I wasn't getting any. And then the last pony came up, and nobody opened up a bid. So I opened up the bid, and then a couple people jumped in, but I was going to stop at $700. And then somebody went $750, and my cousin said, I'll give you $100. So I said $800, and I got him.
Yay!
Did you have your trailer along?
No, I didn't. I had to call my husband and tell him I bought a pony and bring the trailer down to pick him up.
Now, how old is it?
He's 2 months old.
Oh, my God. You got a two-month-old little baby boy. Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So,
and my profile picture is the picture of the pony.
That's him. Oh, my gosh.
That's
so they're weaned at 2 months old?
I guess. But they said I could take him with me. The other ponies that are born before that have to stay there until October. Then you can pick them up in October. So I boarded him on the island for 2 days, and then my husband came Saturday morning, and we hauled him home. So I named him Chip, C-H for Chincoteague, so everybody would know it's pronounced Chincoteague and not Chincoteague. And it's and an IP for Island Pony, so it's Chip. And then because of the heart, it's Valentino. And then Terry, after the last name of the couple that you know, befriended us and took, you know, let us spend the day with him.
He does have a heart.
My
that does look like a heart right on his forehead.
It does. It's like a half a heart. My father says, "Oh, it's a broken heart." But he is so sweet. I was prepared to have this wild animal, and I wouldn't be able to control him at all. And I got him home, went out and bought a baby halter and put it on him and a lead line, and we just walked all around, and he, no bucking, no kicking, nothing. And then I touched him and touched his head and all around his body, lift up his feet, as gentle as a lamb.
He
is so cute. I'm so excited for you. Now, I saw on Facebook you posted that you got sent me an email. I did not get it, so please try to send it again. It's jamie@horseradionetwork.com, because we'd love to hear a little bit more about him and see some more pictures. And please keep me posted on how the training goes. Oh, that is just the cutest thing. And, girlfriend, you know better than to go to an auction without your trailer. I mean, really.
Okay, I'll send it to you now. See if you got that one.
Right.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay.
I know you're at work.
No, it's undeliverable.
Going. But
okay.
Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care. Have a good vacation,
right,
Jamie.
Congrats. Hey, no, thank you.
Bye.
Oh, that is so stinking cute.
This is a cute baby.
I mean, and what a good thing to do, too, to go and to adopt a wild horse. It's like Wild Horse Day here on Horses in the Morning. I think it's great. And I really want to talk to somebody who goes to the prison auction and adopts one of my horses, my Mustangs that I want. If you could bring it back to me, that'd be great. I'll give you the money.
By the way, Liam has said he did not get invited to the wedding. No such luck. So Liam's listening in. Hello, Liam, over there. Hey, I found, are you still house hunting? What's the story? Are you still house hunting? Because I may have come up with one for you.
Oh, please. You know, well, we put an offer in on one. The offer has been accepted, but it's not finalized. So if you found something else, let me know now.
Well, you know, last week you were very unappreciative because I came up with that $175 million property up there in a beautiful part of the country, and you thought it was a little...
I appreciated it.
Deep,
it was in Jacksonville,
you know,
and I appreciated it. My husband did not, and he wanted to punch you in the mouth.
Well, this one's a little bit cheaper, and it's a kind of resort-style home in West Sonoma County in the Russian River Valley. Now, doesn't that just all sound beautiful? West Sonoma County, Russian River Valley.
Vineyards and rivers and perfect weather and beauty. Yes, rolling hills.
And I'm sure that you could be very comfortable in the 8,000-square-foot house. You know, it has, for your husband's point of view, it has a man room. It has a man cave. You can play billiards in the man cave. It also... the house was actually elevated by 6 feet so that you could see the valleys and the mountains all around better than if they had put it at ground level. So they elevated the entire 8,000-square-foot house. It has four large bedrooms, 6.5 bathrooms. It has a home theater, an exercise room, a sauna, a steam room, and a chef's kitchen. It also contains a full-scale bar and custom stonework and cabinetry.
Mm.
Each guest room, get this, has a private entrance. How cool is that? You don't even need to know your guests are there. That's a great mother-in-law room right there, boy. Go in and out. Don't even have to know they're there. This place, by the way, if you see the pictures there, Jamie, and maybe we can post the link to it, the kitchen is out of this world. It is beautiful. It is just out of this world. Well, and it also is an equestrian property because I knew that, you know, that's one of the things you want. Well, there's 20,000-square-foot equestrian facility covered, features a covered arena, five-stall stable. You could expand that. A viewing room and a second smaller arena. So there's plenty of room for expansion. It's got a vineyard, so you can make your own grapes. You can have your own wine. I mean, it's got a pool, a spa, a cabana. And it's only $6.75 million. Look how much cheaper it is than the last one.
Well, you know, $6.75 million does not sound that bad after the last one you tried to get me to buy was $125 million. So, yes, I could have two of those. I'm going to call Chad right now.
It is beautiful. And, the pictures of this place are beautiful. It's
I'm sure he'd love to live off the coast of California. He was born in San Francisco, so it's not going to be that big of a change, and I think it's perfect. Well done. I'm excited. I'll take it.
Hey, you know what? Did you also see about the ostrich races this weekend?
Oh, this is the greatest thing, and then I'll tell you an actual real race story after this. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, well, in Kentucky here at Ellis Park, apparently every year, as part of one of the race cards, they do ostrich races, and they also do camel races. And they get the jockeys to do these races. And you'll see, we'll post a picture there of the jockeys. The winning jockey cracks me up. Now, first of all, if you go on YouTube and just look ostrich races up, you'll find videos of the last couple of years. It is funny as could be watching these jockeys try and stay on these ostriches, because apparently they will go any which direction, and there's really no steering or control. You just hold on. Well, the winning jockey looked pretty happy in that picture, didn't he? These things are huge. When you look at the picture, they are big birds.
The thigh muscles on these suckers are ridiculous. I do love seeing Calvin Burrell on his ostrich. I don't know how these little guys stay on these ostriches, but I love the quote from the guy that actually owns the ostriches. It's a 100-yard sprint. He goes, "I've never had a jockey or an animal hurt, but I can't guarantee every jockey will cross the finish line. They could run full speed halfway and then turn and run right towards the grandstands. It's a little unpredictable, but that's what makes the show a lot of the time."
He said it's like riding an ostrich is like riding a giant football. There you go. Well, that just was kind of fun. That was my fun Ellis Park story here in Kentucky.
Where is Ellis Park? I don't think that's
in Western
Kentucky.
Western Kentucky.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, that's a perfect activity for people in Western Kentucky. That's terrible. I shouldn't have said that. As far as real races go, this horse, Goldakova, won Sunday. Goldakova came over for the Derby, was it last year, I think, and barely lost. Phenomenal mare. And she was in a one-mile race over the weekend that she has now won for the last 4 years. For the last four times. So this mare is absolutely fantastic. She was sitting in second place, went to first, never was challenged. Goldakova captures for the fourth straight year the Prix Rothschild. It's a grade one stakes race, a really big deal. This mare is like amazing, amazing, amazing. So congrats to her and her people. She's back over in France where she came from, and I think it's very exciting. Very exciting to have another big, powerful mare out there like Zenyatta.
Woohoo! Well, let's hope we get another Zenyatta out of it. That would be good. All right, that's about it. We're about running out of time here, Jamie. And you got to head off. You got an 11-hour drive. I hope you got some Audible books to listen to on the way, something to entertain you.
Well, I've downloaded a lot of the Eventing Radio show, the Western Radio.
That's okay. You're allowed to listen to this. All right, here we
I'm
go,
not
everybody.
Listen to Alan for 11 hours. You're crazy. Not a chance.
You can hear all the shows. You can even hear Alan for 11 hours if you want at the westernradioshow.com. All of the shows are at horseradionetwork.com. Jamie, we'll be back tomorrow. They do have internet there, right?
They do have internet, so I should be able to do the show. If not, I'll just call you and tell you, never mind, I'm going to sleep for a week. And
okay.
You're on your own.
I'll just have to get volunteers then from the audience. I'll just have to say, a post on Facebook, who wants to co-host today?
Yeah, there you go. It pays really big, so people make sure you ask for lots of money. If you miss the live show, you can listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'll be in Colorado, and it's beautiful, sunny Pegasus Springs, according to Glenn. So everybody spay, neuter, and geld. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmets. Have a terrific Monday.